I'm fond of the characters Jesus invents in his parables. They're a lot like people we know. They're a lot like people we are. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, we read these words. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and to not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor regarded man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, "Vindicate me against my adversary." For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, "Though I neither fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will vindicate her, or she will wear me out by her continual coming." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will God not vindicate those who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will vindicate them with haste." It wasn't 24 hours after Easter morning this last week that we gathered to celebrate the life and mourn the loss of Buster Landers. And I was thinking at that funeral event, didn't we just have Easter? It wasn't 4 days after Easter morning that tornadoes devastated the South and the Southeast. And at the moment, 350 or so have been lost, and 500 or so are missing. Did we not just have Easter? Last Monday night, Lubbock senior softball, one of my teammates from last year, in the middle of ball game, collapsed from what turned out to be a devastating and fatal heart attack on the ball field. Did we not just have Easter? This feels like Good Friday, again and again and again. We are Easter people in a Good Friday world. So how do we cope with that? How do we cope with that? Well, I think Easter people have maybe more readily available to their awareness, a rather amazing human characteristic. We are capable of perseverance and persistence. We do, in fact, get up the next morning after the darkness of the night before, metaphorically rising, as did he. But we don't give up, at least not all the time. We were visiting one of the grandkids 2 or 3 months ago, and on the lower level of their house is the bathroom where the kids are bathed, and then there's a recreation room next to it, and next to that is the den area with a big honkin' big screen high definition television. And Katie, the 5-year-old, was getting a bath and Jeannie was tending to her, and I was watching SportsCenter. And all this takes place sort of in the back of my consciousness. Katie asked Jeannie to go into the playroom and get her a toy that she wanted to have in the bathtub. And Jeannie said, okay, and alerted me that the child was in the bathtub by herself and would be there for a second, so I took one ear away from SportsCenter for a second. And Jeannie's rooting around in the playroom and says to Katie, "I can't find it," to which this voice from the bathroom tub comes in, pretty loud, "Graham, be persistent." That had been the word of the day on Sesame Street the day before. And if anyone in our family is persistent, it is the 5-year-old Katie. But you know what? Even into this Good Friday world, this week of rather astounding destruction on the front page of and on the television screens of our news, on Friday, in came the royal wedding. My nephew's wife posted to Facebook for at least 24 hours, the news has images of love, as opposed to images of destruction, for a little while. And the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge were not the only people that got married this week. There was a wedding limo in my neighborhood yesterday for somebody who, in the face of long odds for marriages lasting these days, in the face of a dwindling and sometimes frightening economy, they said, not just I do, but I do anyway. You know what? We're going to give this a shot. Children were born this week. Families moved from one place to another in hopes of a better life. Be persistent. And we are. That was Jesus' words to his hearers in the metaphor of the unjust judge. In the face of unreasonable adversaries, be persistent. To Good Friday, to Easter people in a Good Friday world, that is part of this message. Graham, be persistent. And she found the toy. The toy with which the child began to play. And let's work with this for a minute. God created the heavens and the earth. The earth and its people fell away from that original intent. It is plausible to think that certainly since that first Easter, God is about the business of recreating what once was. It seems to be taking him longer than we might have expected. But this time in between, where we live in the wake of the resurrection, but yet in a Good Friday world, is a part of God's recreation or recreation or play. Let's see what I can do with this spring with daffodils. It's almost like God is enjoying the surprises we get as spring follows winter. I think Easter people in a Good Friday world need to pay attention to the opportunity to play, to recreate, to recreate a sense of well-being. I understand why people do it, but I think the cost of this is not worth the value. They trade in their vacation time for an extra paycheck. One of the things that happens as a kind of yearly ritual in our family, especially the Wisconsin crew, suffering from the relentless grayness of winter. Toward the end of January, first week in February, we start paging through the brochures and looking on the websites. What beach house are we going to rent this year? And it's something to which we look forward every single year. We spend a week where the essential goal of the process is to find a rocking chair on a porch overlooking the beach, and if we get especially motivated, rock a little. That's about it. Recreate. Play. I think it's a reasonable answer to relentless interruption. I'm on my break. I'll get there in a minute. I'm on my break. Easter people in a Good Friday world, I think, are even called to refresh, to recreate, to resurrect some energy. So take your break. And finally, the message to Easter people in a Good Friday world through this parable. Pray without ceasing, essentially. Be persistent. Let your requests be made known unto God. Seek and ye shall find, seems to be the message. We all pray, Frederick Buechner says, whether we think of it as praying or not. The odd silence we fall into when something very beautiful happens, something very good or very bad. The awe that sometimes floats up out of us as a 4th of July crowd when skyrockets burst over the water. The stammer of pain at somebody else's pain. The stammer of joy at somebody else's joy. Whatever words or sounds we use for sighing with over our own lives, these are all prayers in their own way. Easter people in a Good Friday world are given a conduit, a connection to the risen Lord. Whether it's a thought, a feeling, an emotion, a recited or repetitive prayer, the channel's open. And Jesus says, use it. Use it all the more persistently when the Good Friday part seems to be taking over. According to Jesus, by far the most important thing about praying is to keep at it. The images he uses to explain this are all rather comic, as though he thought it was rather comic to have to explain it at all. God is like a crooked judge who refuses to hear the case of a poor widow, presumably because he knows there's nothing much in it for him. but she keeps on hounding him until he finally hears her case just to get her out of his hair. Even a stinker, Jesus says, won't give his own child a black eye when the child asks for peanut butter and jelly. How much more so will God? Whatever else it may or may not be, prayer at least is talking to yourself, and that in itself is not always a bad idea. Talk to yourself in meditative prayer about what you've done or what you failed to do, about who you are and who you wish you were, and who the people who love you are, and the people who don't love you too. Talk to yourself about what matters most to you, because if you don't, you may forget what matters most to you. Yes, but, Mr. Smart Guy, what about when the boy is not healed? When listened to or not listened to, the prayer goes unanswered. Who knows? Just keep praying, Jesus says. Remember the sleepy friend, the crooked judge. Even if the boy dies, keep on beating the path to God's door, because the one thing you can be sure of is that down the path you beat, with even your most half-cocked and halting prayer, the God you call upon will finally come. And even if he does not bring you the answer you want, he will bring you himself. And maybe at the secret heart of all our prayers, that's what we are really praying for. The assurance that we're not alone, that he will bring us himself. Be persistent in prayer. Take your break. And remember that prayer is not about circumstance. It's not about outcome. It's about process. I thought it was interesting that one of the commentators noted that the military horse and rider escort to the royal wedding procession are all soldiers in the British military. And one of the news commentators said most of these guys escorting the carriage at this amazing event will be in Afghanistan in a month or so. On we go into a Good Friday world, strengthened with the never-failing presence of the one to whom we can call, to whom we can call whether we are at Westminster Abbey or Afghanistan or post-Texas or anywhere else where we find ourselves to be, especially when the world seems most like Good Friday. We are still Easter people. Hold that thought. Pray about its truth. Take your break. And above all, be persistent. Amen.